preach today from a text I have quoted, I don't know how many times in the whole bit. I was looking at this this week, I'm not sure I've ever actually preached a message on this text. I may have, if I have, I don't remember. And in my way, let's turn to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Anyone who ever said being a Christian is easy has obviously never tried being one, okay, because it's anything but easy. And yes, I know if you were to go out here this afternoon, go to Lowe's, go to Walmart, go to some of the local stores, just go out in public and ask the average person, just go up to them and say, are you a Christian? I believe most people around these parts would probably say, yes. I don't really believe that. As a matter of fact, I think there's a lot of people who say they're a Christian, but if you want the truth, it's in name only. There's so many people that don't do anything for it. They don't go to church, they don't read the Bible, they don't pray, they don't do anything. But if you ask them, what are you? Well, I'm a Christian. Well, why? Well, that's what my mom and dad were, that's what my grandpa was, that's what my grandma and my mom's side was. We're just Christian people. I hear that a lot. I'm nobody's judge, but I told Kirk yesterday, I said, I'm nobody's judge. It's not up to me who's going to heaven and hell. I'm going to tell you this. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits, and I'll tell you what I am, a fruit inspector. Amen? And so, if I don't see any fruit, I'm not real overly convinced that someone's a Christian just simply because they say they are one. And I would venture to say this morning that hell is absolutely packed full of people who called themselves Christians while they were alive and walking in the face of this earth. But friends, being a Christian is more than just saying you're a Christian. Being a Christian is about being a follower of Jesus Christ. Being a Christian is about having a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And being a Christian is without doubt the most difficult thing that any person can ever endeavor to do in this life. The reason that's true is that being a follower of Christ requires so many things of us. Think about it. Being his follower requires that we surrender everything that we are and everything that we have to the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's not an easy thing to do. Being his follower requires us sometimes to make real sacrifices in our service to him. That's not an easy thing to do. Being his follower requires us sometimes to go places we don't want to go or do things that we don't necessarily want to do. And again, that is not an easy thing to do. The biggest difficulty in being a follower of Christ is that each day, as his people, we have to face a very real enemy in sin. If you're truly a born-again follower of Jesus, I'm going to do this for you. You've got an enemy. His name is Satan. And he is going to constantly attack you and do everything that he can to hinder you from doing the will of God. And he's going to do everything that he can to lead you astray from the will of God. And because of him and the temptation.
every day. It is a struggle to always put Christ first in our lives. It is a struggle to put away the will of self and seek only the will of God. It is a struggle to avoid sin and temptation and do that which is pleasing to the Lord. Friends, these things, sometimes they're a struggle to do. And Paul knew that these things were a struggle to do. He knew what a struggle it was to serve the Lord and do what the Lord was having to do. And because he knew it was a struggle, he knew it was a struggle to avoid sin and temptation, because he knew this, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he shares something that's deeply personal with his readers about his own struggle. So today I want to look at what the Apostle Paul had to say about his struggles as a Christian man, because I really do believe that his words can help us as we deal with our own struggles and our own Christian lives as well. So what does Paul say about the Christian struggle? Well, the first thing that this text teaches me is that Satan is going to afflict everyone, and because he will, everyone who is a child of God will struggle. You hear me? He is going to afflict everyone. Look at verse 7 again. Paul says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations," listen to this, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to bother me." Right here, Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. In Hebrews chapter 12, he called it the sin that does easily beset us. In Galatians chapter 4, he referred to it as a temptation in his flesh. But I'm convinced that in all three places, he's talking about the exact same thing. And notice that Paul uses here, when he says he had a thorn in the flesh, he uses a phrase from the messenger of Satan. You know why? Because it was Satan who had come and brought this thorn in the flesh into his life. God didn't bring it to Satan. This was from Satan. It says to buffet him. Now I'm going to say this. Paul doesn't tell us exactly what this thorn in the flesh is. He doesn't tell us exactly what it was that he struggled with. But he does tell us that he had a temptation, a sin. This is what he's talking about, that he was struggling with. And this temptation, this sin, came from Satan. Well, friends, all I can say is this. If Satan could afflict the Apostle Paul, then Satan can, and Satan will, afflict you. And he will afflict me. There's no doubt about it. And I promise you something this morning. The old devil has been watching you for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, the old devil's been watching you all your life. And he's been paying real close attention to you, and he knows exactly what your weaknesses are. Not only does he know your weaknesses, he knows how to exploit those weaknesses. And that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to attack you where you're weak. Every single person here today is just like Paul, and we all have that thorn in the flesh from Satan. We all have that sin that easily besets us. We all have that temptation. We all have that one thing. For some people, and yes, I'm talking about God's people here. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about saved people. For some saved people, guess what their thorn is? It's foul or vulgar language. Now, a lot of people over the years, they have heard beef out of them in church, but if you meet them out in public, they use some foul language, and that's a thorn in the flesh for them. And I've had people even come to me and tell me, I struggle with this. You know why? Because it's your thorn in the flesh. It's your sin that easily besets you. Some people, their problem is really not their mouth, it's their anger. They get mad quick, and that's a thorn. Who's that from? That's from Satan, right? And so that is a real struggle for some people. For other people, guess what? It's another struggle of the mouth. Gossip. There are some people, boy, if they hear something about somebody that's juicy, they just want to get on Facebook, tell the whole world what they know. I want to get on the phone, and every person they see, they're talking about it. If you hear, for some people, that's their sin that easily besets them. That's their thorn in the flesh, Satan. For others, it might be something a little more serious, something we would deem a little more serious, like substance abuse or talking about drugs or alcohol. I hate to break the tape. You know what? There are saved people who struggle with drugs and alcohol. It happens. I'm going to tell you something. I have a 66-year-old grandmother in the church I pastored, before I came here. 66-year-old grandmother. One of the most wonderful people I ever met. Good woman, godly woman. She had a back surgery, and guess what? They started giving her opioids after the back surgery to help with the pain, and then when the doctor cut her off, she was addicted. And you know what I found out about her? She was going to Florida about every 2 or 3 months buying opioids illegally. Now, do I think that that made her lost again? Absolutely not. I think she was just as saved as I was. But guess what? She had a problem. It became her thorn in the flesh. She became addicted. She was still saved. Oh yeah, I hate to break the saved people also struggle with sexual sins, like adultery and fornication. Oh, no. Ain't no saved person did, really. Because my Bible says David was a man after God's own heart, and yet David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Yes, I hate to break it to you, people, but there are people, God's people, who commit such sins as adultery and fornication. Some of God's people struggle with pornography, and sadly, with the advent of the internet, it's easier to get your hands on than it's ever been. I've seen others who struggle with things like something like drugs or alcohol or sexual sins, but I've seen God's people struggle with things like, get this, jealousy. They see what other people have and they feel sorry for themselves because they don't have that too. I've seen God's people struggle with an unforgiving heart. Somebody wrongs them, and even if that person comes and says, hey, I'm sorry I did that, or I'm sorry I said that, they still won't forgive them. Your Bible said, my Bible, Jesus said, forgive as you have been forgiven. And yet I've met God's people, some of God's people, that, man, they have an awful time with that. It's their born flesh. If you wrong them, they will not, cannot forgive you. They just have, they struggle with that. Let me give you another one. This might fit a lot of us. Struggle to be consistent in our service to the Lord each and every day. Be a real struggle, can't it? I mean, I think to myself sometimes, it'll be easy. Just go to church every time doors open. It'll be easy just to pray every day and read my Bible every day. And it'll be easy to go out here and just try to talk to people about Jesus and tell them about the good news of the gospel. And that ought to be simple to do. And, when the plate comes around on Sunday morning, it'll be easy to cut a check and just drop it in there. All this, they sound easy, but try doing them all consistently. Struggle doesn't. I don't know why. I mean, those things sound pretty easy to do, but yet we struggle to do them consistently all the time. Praise God. Serving the Lord is a struggle. I'm telling you. Make no mistake about it. We all have things that we struggle with, and we all, listen to me, have that one thing that we struggle with more than anything else. We do. Because the devil is such a keen observer of our lives. He knows where we're weak, and therefore that is where he attacks us. This is what he did to Paul. It's what he continues to do to the people of God today. So make no mistake, friends, Satan afflicts everyone. And everyone has something that they struggle with in their Christian life. Yes, that also means even the most pious, self-righteous among us. This brings me to my second point. This. I'm going to think about this. Satan won't flip everybody. Everybody has that one sin they struggle with, that one sin that easily besets them, that thorn in the flesh, that temptation in the flesh, no matter which verse you want to use that Paul wrote about. Everybody's got some, but here's the deal. I want you to think about it this morning. You on your own are powerless to overcome your thorn in the flesh. You on your own, let me say it again, are powerless to overcome the main thing you struggle with. How do I know this?
says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." What does that mean? It means he prayed about it three times. He besought the Lord three times, and what did he ask for? That it might depart from me. In other words, what he's saying is, "Lord, give me victory over this thing that I'm struggling with. Help me, Lord, to put it away. Help me to get victory over. Lord, I don't want it in my life anymore. I hate this thing, and I want it gone." Paul had struggled, so what did he do? He prayed about it. He took it to the Lord. Verse 8 says he prayed about it three times before the Lord gave him an answer. I'm going to say this. I think he prayed about 500 times. I think he kept praying about it until God gave him an answer. But after praying about it three times, God gave him an answer, so he didn't pray about it the fourth time. But here's my question. If Paul could have overcome the thing that he was struggling with all on his own, then why did he pray about it and ask God to help him? I think that's a pretty fair question. I mean, Paul obviously didn't want this thorn in the flesh in his life. So doesn't it kind of stand to reason that if he on his own had the power within himself to overcome this thing that he was struggling with, that he would have just overcome it on his own? Doesn't that kind of make sense? And if he could have overcome it on his own, then why in the world would he pray about it and ask God to help? I'll tell you why he prayed about it. He prayed about it because he knew that he was 100% unable to overcome this thing that he struggled with on his own. And so he took it to the Lord in prayer, seeking the Lord's help to overcome his thorn in the flesh. And today I'm telling you, whatever it is that you were struggling with in your Christian life, you cannot overcome it on your own either. So what should you do? Well, I'm going to tell you what you should do. You got to do what Paul did. You got to pray about it. You got to take it to the Lord. You need to get real honest with the Lord about your struggle, friends. And if it's a thorn in the flesh from Satan, a sin that easily besets you, let me tell you something. When you pray about it, don't make excuses for it. Don't try to justify it to God. Don't try to say, "Well, Lord, I've got this thing here I'm struggling with. There's a sin here, this temptation, and I don't want it in my life. But Lord, I'm only doing it because." I'm going to tell you something. I think sometimes when we justify our sin to God, I think that's worse than the sin itself. Don't make excuses. Don't justify. Just tell the Lord, I've got a problem. I got something I'm struggling with. This is difficult for me. I can't overcome this on my own. I hate this thing. I don't want this in my life. I know this doesn't please you. I know this doesn't bring you glory. God, I want my life to glorify you. And so, Lord, I want to rid my life of this thing that Satan. Just be honest with the Lord and ask him to help you and empower you and give you victory over whatever it is that you're struggling with. But let me warn you before you pray about it, okay? You might not get the answer you expect. You might not even get the answer you want. Paul didn't. When Paul prayed about it, you know what he wanted? He wanted God to give him victory over this thorn in his flesh, so that he could quit struggling with it. That's what Paul wanted. But what did God tell him? Did God say, "Okay, Paul, I'm going to give you the power you need to say no to this"? No. You know what God said when Paul prayed about this? God said, "No, I'm not taking it away from you. I'm going to leave this in your life. You're going to have to deal with this." Do you think that was the answer Paul expected? I don't. You think that was the answer Paul wanted? I guarantee you it wasn't. And to my knowledge, there's no place in Scripture where Paul ever declares that he got victory over this thorn in the flesh, a sin that easily beset him. Why would the Lord do that? Why would the Lord do this? Well, this brings me to my third point, that is, purpose of our struggles. And why God sometimes permits us to struggle with the things that Satan puts before us. Why does God do it? Well, a couple of reasons. I think the main answer is found in the first 8 words of verse 7. Unless I should be exalted.
this thorn, this sin that easily beset him. And had he been able to do this on his own and got over the things he struggled with, then guess what? There would have been the very real temptation for Paul to give himself the glory instead of giving it to God. Think about this. If Paul could have said, well, the devil put this sin in my way, and I'm just going to think positive thoughts and have positive thinking, and I'm just going to will myself to overcome this thing, and then he got victory over it by his own will. But guess what he could have done? He could have bragged. He said, look what Paul did. He's going to be getting glory. Let me make a little confession to you this morning. I am just like Paul, and I have my own thorn in the flesh. That's a fact. I have something like him that I struggle with every day, like Paul. I'm not going to tell you what it is. No, your business is going to be in the Lord. But it's something that's been in my life, say, put my life a long time ago. It's something I've struggled with. And then I think about some of the big things that the Lord has helped me overcome in my life. And I think, Lord, how come I've been able to overcome these big things, but I can't overcome this stupid little thing right here? You know, I don't know. I've done like Paul. I've prayed about this thing. I've asked the Lord to give me complete and total victory over it. I've asked him to take it away out of my life. I'm just like Paul. I have that sin, my own sin that easily besets me. And again, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And to this point, God has given me the same answer that he gave Paul. That answer is no, I'm not going to take it away from you. I'm sorry. But you know what? Paul's honest about his struggles. It has helped me with my own struggle. And you know what? One thing it's taught me is this. Sometimes the Lord allows us to struggle with things, even with sin and temptation, because he's trying to keep us humble. He doesn't want us to brag about how perfect we think we are. Well, take some. If I could put away all sin in my life, I could brag, couldn't I? Because ain't nobody in this room has figured out how to do it yet. But if I can figure out how to do it, you ain't figured out yet. That's what I stand up here and brag, couldn't I? Well, look what I've done. Well, I can't do that. You know why? Got sin in my life, and I still have that one sin that easily besets me. I still have my own thorn in the flesh, that one thing that I struggle with, and so I can't pray about how perfect I am or give myself the glory. And I think the Lord does that because he wants and deserves all the glory. Paul knew this because just look what he said two chapters earlier in 2 Corinthians 10:17. He said this. He said, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know what that means, friends? It means that if we're going to brag about something, we ought to brag about him. If you're going to brag about something, don't brag about what a perfect Christian you think you are. Don't brag about how pious and self-righteous you are. Don't brag about how all the sin you've avoided. No, if you're going to brag, brag like this. You know what? I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell, but praise God, by his grace, he made me a way to be saved by sending his only son to this earth to die on the cross to pay for my sins so that I could go to heaven. Praise God! Not praise God. I don't deserve an ounce of glory. I don't deserve an ounce of praise. He gets it all. He gets it all, friends. This is one reason the Lord sometimes allows us to struggle with the things of the flesh. He doesn't keep us humble. You know, there's another reason I think it's even more important. You know why you have that one thorn in the flesh? You know why you have that one sin that easily besets you? You know why? The Lord allows you to keep it, to keep you dependent on him. You see, if the Lord had given Paul victory over this thorn in the flesh, there would have been a very real temptation for Paul to stop trusting Jesus and start trusting Paul instead. In the Old Testament, David did this for a while when he numbered Israel. It didn't lead to anything good for him. So sometimes the Lord allows us to struggle even with simple things that Satan puts before us because he wants us to always trust him. and never ourselves. Yes, friends, I do. I have my own struggles, but my struggles with the things of the flesh, listen to me, they are a constant reminder to me of why I need a Savior. And they are a constant reminder to me to keep praising God that Jesus Christ is that Savior. Salvation only happens one way, right? And that's by trusting in Jesus, not in ourselves. So yes, sometimes the Lord lets us struggle, just like He let Paul struggle. I think He does it for the same reasons for us today that He did for Paul. One is to keep us humble. And the second is to keep us dependent on Him for all things. And this brings me to my final point. That is a couple of promises concerning the struggle. First promise is found in this text in verse 9. Doesn't he talking about God? Paul's prayed about this thing three times. Finally, God gives him an answer. Verse 9 says, and he said unto me, listen to this, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's promise number one. His grace is sufficient. We all know what sufficient means, don't you? It means all that is necessary. Nothing else needs to be done. Friends, we are saved, the Bible says, by the grace of God through our faith in Christ. Guess what? There is nothing that you have to do. There's nothing that you can just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're sinless, because you're not. Friends, we're still in the flesh. The Bible says the flesh is at war with the Spirit, so that we cannot do the things that we would. And because we are in the flesh, guess what? We're going to struggle with the things of the flesh, which means we are going to sin. No question about this point. You want to know the only difference between us who are saved and these lost people out here in the world? We're saved sinners. They're all sinners. It's just about that simple. That's the only difference. You didn't accept Jesus Christ and suddenly become perfect. And you're never going to be perfect in this life. You're going to struggle, friends, all to the end of this life. But here's the great promise of God's Word. His grace is sufficient. It is enough, and there is nothing that we have to do to get it. Nothing that we can do to keep it. We are saved by the grace of God through faith, and it says, and that not of ourselves. And again, I can't stress this enough, we are not saved by the things that we have done for Him, but rather we are saved because of what He has done for us. Friends, that is grace. And He says His grace is sufficient. Romans 5:20 makes the great promise that where sin does abound, His grace does much more abound. Do you know what that means? It means that even when you sin, you're still saved, because His grace is always going to be bigger than your sin. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we go do whatever we want? No, absolutely not. Because in Romans chapter 6 continues on in verse 1 by saying, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2 gives the answer. God forbid. God forbid. Friends, His grace is not a license for us to sin or for us to do what we want. And as His people, we should do everything that we can to avoid sin and temptation in our lives. But here's the truth. You are going to struggle with sin and temptation for the rest of your mortal life. And you are going to make mistakes. And you're going to make them today. I don't care who you are. When your struggles overcome you and you sin and you fail the Lord, guess what? Praise God, He will write you off. You know why? Because His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough. Friends, I've said this and said this, I'm going to say it again this morning. If someone like the Apostle Paul struggled to do the right thing, where in the world does that leave you and me? Go home and read Romans 7. I'm going to paraphrase it. I've paraphrased it before. Paul says this, I know what's right and that's what I want to do and I don't do it. He says, and I know what's wrong, and I hate it, and don't want to do it, but yet that's what I do. And I think it's Romans 18, how to perform that, which is good, I find not. Well, honey, I'm going to tell you something. Paul can figure it out. Do you think you're going to change? No. Like I said, this thing we call the Christian life is a struggle. The struggle is real. We are in the flesh. The flesh is at war with the Spirit. Satan is attacking us all the time. He has been watching us. He knows where we're weak. mistakes. You know what, praise God? When you make a mistake, when you sin, when your sin abounds, His grace will much more abound. Praise God. Amen? And praise God, His grace is enough. His grace is enough. Yeah, we all have that one sin that we struggle with. Don't kid yourself. The struggle is real. This brings me to the conclusion of the matter. And that is, I praise God, someday soon, the struggle is going to be over. Hey, and it'll be a good day. You know what? In heaven, the devil's not going to be there. And so with him gone, guess what? There's not going to be any temptation. And without temptation, sin will cease. Well, I think it'll be a nice day. But until that day, we who are saved are going to continue to struggle with the things of the flesh every single day. And I'm telling you, God's not letting you struggle because he enjoys watching you. Now, I think he's letting you struggle for a few reasons. He's, number one, doing it to keep you humble. Number two, I guess what don't kill you makes you stronger and you feel safe. Sometimes through these struggles, we get stronger in our faith. Don't we? That's a good thing. Most of all, friends like Paul, he's doing it to keep us dependent on him. Therefore, we need to be like Paul. Glory in our infirmities. As Paul said, the power of Christ may rest upon us. Praise God. The Lord by his power saved me. I am going to heaven as soon as this life is over. But I'm not going because I have lived a perfect life, because I have not. I am not going because I on my own have overcome sin, because I have. He overcame. Salvation. I pray that you come, Lord, all the same. I pray that you